Welcome to Ascension Day, a Warhammer 40K Gene Zero Cult podcast. My name is Gabriel Connor, and with me I have my very special guest host, TJ Lanigan. TJ, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. It's definitely an honor for me. We're kind of, we see each other around at tournaments, and you're always freaking smacking everyone around since I've been going to them, so it's awesome to have you on the podcast. I'll definitely say, like, our meta, man, the kind of like the East Coast, like New England type area that we're at is rough, man. So to see you constantly like being at the top tables up there, like what was it like, I guess, coming up in that area, like competitively having to deal with like all these Art of War guys and everyone else around that area?
I mean, it makes you much more skilled. I find that I think the adage that you learn more when you lose is definitely the most true statement that I've ever heard. So, when you're getting destroyed early on in your career, learning how to play the game and stuff like that, it's very helpful to you because, when you're playing with your friends and stuff like that, when you win a tight game, you're like, cool, that was great, I won that game. But did you really learn a lot? Or did your friend really learn a lot? Maybe he learned, like, don't go out that way, but he might not understand exactly why to not go out that direction or take that secondary or whatever it might be. So when you're playing against someone who just absolutely destroys you, you're like, all right, let's look at this more than just surface level stuff. Let's fundamentally understand why that happened that way and why, it went better for him. Maybe it was his list, maybe it was his tactics, maybe it was all of these things together. So it really helps you learn. And I find that to be the best environment. If you look at, like, not myself, but like Anthony Vanilla is another great example. Like, obviously he grows up in the same environment, he used to play the likes of me, Ganyo, Sean Naden, Matt Schuckman. And now, he's, one of the staples for Team America. So, I mean, I think adversity, builds character and makes you better at what you do. So.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's, that's what I'm telling myself as I'm playing like Tyler Principio and just getting my shit kicked in. I'm like, this is good for you, Gabe. This is making you stronger. Don't cry. Don't let him see the tears.
humbles you a little bit too, right? When you're the best player of your group and then you go somewhere, you travel somewhere new and you just get destroyed. You're like, all right, well, this is the next level, right? This is the next tier that I need to get to or the next thing that I need to do. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, TJ, we're going to be talking about Gene Stealer Cult characters. We're going to be kind of ranking them. For our listeners, this is going to be like a very super simple kind of ranking. Essentially, what we're going to be doing is looking at the characters within the index and kind of take and ranking them as either being like an auto include take. So that means you're taking as many as you need. So because it wouldn't make sense like to slam three Nexuses, but you're always going to be slamming one kind of idea. The next tier down is going to be like a niche choice one off. And then the third, is going to be, no results expected by taking this and, or you're just giving up assassinate points by taking this character. But before we get started, real quick, if you could give us a quick little, tidbit about yourself. How long have you been playing 40K? How long have you been playing Gene Stealer Cult? What has your experience been like playing Gene Stealer Cult over the years?
Yeah, sure. So I've been playing for about 18 years, 19 years now. Some ridiculous number. Yeah, I've been playing for a long time. Playing since 4th edition. So I played Gene Stealers in 8th edition. I started picking them up and I really played them in 9th edition when the codex came out. I was a big fan of them. And then 10th edition, I played them after their nerf, oddly enough. I didn't play them till after we got our first balance update, so they got some substantial changes on that, as did a whole bunch of different factions. So you know, and results wise I've definitely won some events with them, definitely more so 9th edition than 10th edition. I won a few GTs in 9th edition with them. 8th edition, I won a few small events. And then 10th edition, just a few like RTTs and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy. I did take them to Worlds. Unfortunately, I tech them the wrong way. And I played the thing that I did not tech for. I tech for Eldar, and I played Eldar. I played against CSM five rounds. I played four CSM matches and then one World Eater match, which is basically CSM because he played 120 cultists, which was, basically playing CSM. So, yeah, but I really do love the faction. I love the lore. We're going to obviously get into characters, but I mean, like, the book is such a fleshed out book. It really feels like the only thing that's missing in the book is, like, detachments, because I think detachments are really going to make us such a stronger faction. And I'm really interested to see where they go with these detachments, because our book is less than 3 months away, if not 3 months away. You know, really the big questions remain is so every codex gets a strat that stays with them for the entire, every detachment has basically one strat that just kind of rotates in there, stays in each detachment. And I'm really interested to see which one we're going to get, because right now, if you look at something like, well, demo charges, right? Demo charges are 6 inches. So if you don't make the 3-inch deep strike a strat that the codex keeps, how exactly are demo charges going to be played in different detachments? And the answer right now, unless they completely change either demo charges or they leave that strat in, is not at all. So that will be very interesting to see what they do with that particular instance. So, but so primarily I would say I play Chaos. I do, do a YouTube page and a Patreon that is Lord of Chaos. I basically specialize in all that stuff. I do coaching and consulting, but like I said, I do really, really enjoy Gene Stoicult. So.
Yeah, man. To kind of go on with what you're saying, I've been thinking, racking my brain on how they could make, because I know I'm not the only one, I personally do not like our army rule, but our detachment rule and our detachment stratagems are like some of the best in the game. Or if not, what probably, I think at release, we honestly had like the best detachment, just with the enhancements that we can bring, the stratagems that we can use, and the fact that like ignores cover and sustained on an army for coming out of reserves on an army who is always coming out of reserves is, you know, just chef's kiss. I'm in the same boat as you. I'm very curious how they're going to balance that, but awesome, man. Well, thank you. Thanks again for coming on. And to you listeners, if you would like to be a part of the community, please join the Discord. The link will be in the show notes on whatever show or whatever app that you're using to listen to this on. If you become a premium member of the Discord, you'll be able to ask questions for Stay of the Cult episodes, as well as provide a list review for Stay of the Cult, where your list will be reviewed on air. We can't talk about it. But if not, if you just if you don't want to be a premium member, there's still would like love you to join. We have a general chat in there, as well as all the announcements for future episodes will be posted in that Discord. All righty. Well, hey, TJ, how about we get started on this? So, like I said, just a three-tiered kind of approach on these characters. And we're just going to start at the top. Overall, how do you feel about the characters within GSC?
So there are some that I really, really enjoy. And then there are some that just feel very counterintuitive to what they did last edition. And then I guess to really, you know, signify that, I feel like some of the characters are paying for the sins of last edition, where they were really, really good. And now they're just really, really bad. So.
Yeah. Like the Kellar Morph, which will 100%. We'll go into here in a bit, but yeah, there's a few. And you know, the Jackal Alphys, you know, being able to do some shenanigans with the bikes. But yeah, well, we'll start at the top. So first character we have is the Abominant. Real quick, with every character, I'm just going to do a quick overview of their stats, who they attach to, and kind of what they do, and then we can kind of like chat about it. Sure. So the Abominant, moving 6, T6, 5-up save. He essentially has an aberrant top stat line. He does have 5 wounds, leadership 7, OC 1. He has a 4-up feel no pain, and he only leads Abominants. Aberrants. He has essentially a las cannon strapped to his hammer. He has 3 attacks hitting on 3, strength 12, AP 2, B6 plus 1 damage. While he's leading a unit, the unit has sustained hits, and the first time he dies, he comes back up on a 2-up. Currently, he is costing 75 points. So, TJ, what's your thoughts on the Abominant?
So, I mean, we're going to get to the other character later on. So basically, this is, if you really want the honest truth between this character and the other character, it's just a, you know, it's just a competition between these two characters, right? Because you really don't take, these characters can only, well, the Biophages can lead other units, but like the Abominant can only lead Aberrants. So like really the competition is he better than the Biophages, right? And for me, I like the Aberrant better. I find the Aberrant is more usable in a lot more scenarios. Now, don't get me wrong, the anti-infantry is really nice, but we are kind of, I think the Abominant really, its factor that determines if you take it or not is what does your meta currently look like, right? If we're in an infantry heavy meta, then, well, anti-infantry 2+ is good, especially when we factor that with like, oh, I'm, you know, minus 1 to wound or something like that. Like, okay, well, I'm anti-infantry 2+, so I don't care, right? So, and that's what the Biophages does. So the Aberrant just getting you sustained hits, that's generally better when you're fighting things that either don't have that or we're in a vehicle meta. Now, obviously, the Biophages gives you lethal, but like a lot of attacks is good. And it obviously depends what vehicles they are, right? If they're all land raiders, then lethal hits is definitely just going to be better. But for me, I like the Abominant better. I think that having a character that comes back on a 2+ is really good. And oftentimes, like, someone will just precision out your character, Biophages or something like that. And with the Abominant, that doesn't really happen often, right? They just don't have the same resources or the same thing. So for me, I think he's a must-take right now.
Gotcha. I actually, if you would have talked to me like a couple months ago, I may have put him down a tier, but now, especially with what I feel like is a rise of more monophase armies, specifically like Tau is becoming super popular, and then, you know, like Blood Angels is becoming super popular. Now, obviously, Blood Angels aren't very monophase, but, you know, like, they have some shooting, but it's, you know, your death company are going to shoot their pistols, and then maybe you have, like, a ball predator, and then that's going to be it, but primarily they're trying to punch you. Righteous Crusaders, Black Templars, you know, essentially monophase, except for maybe, like, the Lancer or whatever that they'll take. Mm-hmm. With the rise of monophase armies, I think the fact that like the Abominant really, it's really hard for him to just outright die in a single turn, I think is huge. And it is, you know, coming from what you're saying, is the fact that he comes back on a 2-up. So you know, getting through a whole 5-man or 10-man unit of aberrants takes real work, you know, with you know, -1 to wound and then the 4 up feel no pain. And then, okay, finally you get past all that. And I've had this in so many games where it's like, okay, now I'm left with the biophages. What is he going to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
He's gonna die. Whereas the Abominant still has a 4 up feel no pain on his own and still has a las cannon attached to a hammer. So I haven't ran him quite a bit. The list I'm working on now, actually I'm gonna run 2 for that reason, just because it's like, oh, if you just shoot my Abominants but you have no real melee, or my Aberrants but you have no real melee, my Abominant is just gonna live in your back line until you finally deal with them and just beat the shit out of rhinos or whatever else is back there while he's doing it. So
yeah.
I think I absolutely agree. I think lethal is nice. If you don't roll enough sixes, and sometimes with not having like a super big movement profile, it might be hard to like get all 30 attacks onto something. If you don't roll like a lot of sixes, like that lethal is just not doing anything for you. And like you said, like that anti-infantry 2-up is only going to matter into very specific like profile, either into Terminators or into things that have a -1 to wound. Like yeah. Anytime you go against like standard Marines, you're going to hit them on twos anyway, or you're going to wound them on twos anyway. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think the last thing I will say about him is like, you can precision with him. You can't precision with the biophages. Biophages is not doing anything to a character, but he can precision. Now, is he going to be amazing at it? No. But if you're fighting like a Wraith squad, he'll kill the Technomancer, no problem.
Yeah.
Like he'll kill Technomancer, not an issue. One of those last cannon shot gets through and it's, you know, it's basically -3 damage. So
he's don't roll a 1 on damage and then he dies and then no more feel no pain on wreaths, which is always makes us happy.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So Abominant as a must take. I agree. All right. Next is the Acolyte Icon Ward. So this guy has essentially an Acolyte top line, top stat line. So 6-inch move, T4, 5-up save. Has 2 extra wounds for 3 wounds. Leadership 6, which is pretty nice. That's actually not super common in this book to have leadership 6. Only a few characters give that. And then 1 OC. He himself has Colt Claws and an auto pistol. His data sheet abilities is he gives the unit a 5-up feel no pain. And once per battle, if someone moves within 9, if someone moves within 9 of a Colt ambush marker, you can pick up that marker and move it within 12 of the icon ward, which is, well, I guess we'll talk about it. And he costs 50 points. All right, TJ, what's your thoughts on the Acolyte Icon Ward?
Well, I just don't. I've tried him multiple times. I was trying to make him work. You try to make these big 20 mans get a feeling of pain, and it's cute. Cute is the word I would use to describe Mr. Icon Ward. But the issue with him is he just doesn't do enough. The main issue is until we get a detachment that's going to do something that increases our durability, just having you most of the time will not even get a save. You're not getting an armor save. So like you're just getting a feel no pain save. So like, yeah, if you had an invul, like what was that? Not Rusted Claw, but whatever detachment it was in the last book, I can't remember, that gave you an invul.
I thought it was a custom detachment that where you were allowed to do that, where it was like a 6-up invul.
Well, I think Pauper Princess gave you, you could take a relic, which gave you an invul on like one unit, but that, or it had a psychic power that gave you an invul. But like, yeah, you're right. Giving yourself two sets of saves is very powerful. But like, without that, I just don't think he works. And like, you're already so character heavy. That's one of the biggest problems with this book in general, is that like, to make the units work, you need characters. And that's great, except like, this guy's just another character. Now, I will say something that you didn't mention is that this model can be taken and put into units with other characters, which is cool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is nice, but not super, super helpful. So I'm going to say for me, you're not going to see any results with them. Like, that unit's going to live maybe 5% longer than it's supposed to, or 10% longer than it's supposed to, maybe one additional turn. But yeah. And I think he's detrimental in a lot of instances as well, because like, you get locked up, you string your unit out so that you can cut it in half and then not be in combat anymore, then regenerate the heavy weapons, then fire the heavy weapons. Well, with a Feel No Pain, you might roll wonky on that, and then all of a sudden that you got a guy left alive that's not supposed to be alive, and you're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. Now I'm stuck in combat and I can't shoot because we don't have a fallback and shoot yet. So
I think that's a good point. I also have tried desperately to like make him work, just, you know, especially after the changes to Colt Ambush, where I was like, you know, it's like, well, I want whatever blips I do get to like last. It just,
right.
It never ended up being that impactful. Nope. Like you said, like a 5-up Feel No Pain on a unit, like that's cute, but yeah, I think for me, he's also going to be just gives up assassinate points at this point. I don't even think he's a niche choice. I there's not really any. If there was a build based around increasing our ability to get Colt Ambush tokens, then maybe I could see him as a niche choice. But since that doesn't exist, like, yeah, for me, I think he just gets up assassinate. Cool. All right. Well, we kind of already talked about him before, but we have the Mr. Biophagus. The Biophagus is moving 6 inches. He is T3, 5-up save, 3 wounds, 7-up leadership, OC1. He does have a couple of funny range weapons. He has an auto pistol and an anti-infantry 2-up chemical vial with a 6-inch range, which is hits on a 3, strength 1, AP 1, 2 damage, so that's, I'll kill a Marine, which is really neat. He has his injector goad, which is 1 attack, hit weapon skill 3 up, strength 2, AP 0, D3 damage, anti-infantry 2 up, but that can be increased whenever he uses his biological warfare ability, which is a once per battle. When this model's unit selected to fight, this model can use this ability. If it does, until the end of phase, improve the attacks and damage characteristics of his injector goad by 3. I have killed a rhino or finished off a rhino with his injector goad, you know, just rolling a 6 on the wound and doing D3 plus 3 damage. Sometimes that happens. We kind of talked about, when he's leading unit, the melee weapons in that unit have lethal hits. You'll also be taking the Alchemicus Familiar, which is a once per game, anti-infantry 2-up in the melee phase for the unit. He can join Aberrants, Acolyte Hybrids, Hybrid Metamorphs, and Neophyte Hybrids. And then he can also be attached to a Bally unit, even if it has a Primus Magus or Icon Ward. All right. What are your thoughts on the Biophagus, TJ?
He's right down the middle for me. I mean, I think he's niche choice. Now, I'll give him some credit. One of the cool things that he does have that Mr. Abominate does not have is that he's got a pistol, which means that you can do actions in combat, which is something that, you know, people like to turn off the ability for Aberrants to be able to do stuff. And they often get locked in places and have trouble basically getting out. So that's cool. What I will say, though, I was actually thinking about this the other day when you asked me to be on the podcast, I was thinking like, all right, you know, like, let's look at the codex again. Let's look at some stuff. Interestingly enough, I think he actually does work better not in Aberrants. I think he would work better in like Metamorphs and things like that. Things where you have a low hit profile. Sorry, you have a low wound profile. Like you're, you know, you're like strength 4, strength 5. So you just get a ton of attacks. You're like, all right, cool. So I wound, you know, I wound on a 2+ once per game, and then I get a whole bunch of, you know, I just get a whole bunch of damage in there, you know? So I think that's probably where he'd work best is in something like that. So, I mean, that's just my personal stuff. I think, again, I think this guy gets better once we get some detachments, because if our melee gets a little better, then this guy gets better, because putting him in a squad of like metamorphs with a ton of attacks that are now anti-infantry 2+, well, that negates a lot of the, oh, I'm toughness 6, or I'm toughness 5, or I'm toughness 4. Like, I don't care about any of that. I just wound you on 2s, right? Then if we can get some mechanic where we reroll 1s, like, all of a sudden, that's really, really good. Or we get sustained in melee or something like that, right? So I think he gets much better. But for now, I think he's just a niche choice. You can take him in Aberrants, obviously. Like, he's good in Aberrants. But, I mean, I think I just think he's just a niche choice for now. Because, yeah, he gets... You know, precision is so common now. So many units have precision. And, like, he just dies so quickly. He just doesn't do anything. So.
Yeah. And like, while we do have a strat to essentially, it essentially negates precision, we are so CP hungry that, like, you don't want to be spending a CP on really negating precision if you don't have to. It feels really bad. Like, because so many times, like, I want to go into my 2 with 3 CP on deck, because that means, like, I'm 3-inch deep striking, I'm perfect ambushing, I'm throwing a grenade, and then I have, you know, my Reductus throwing a grenade. So that, like, that is my ideal scenario. And so if I'm having to spend a CP, like, that just takes away from my turn 2, turn 3, like, punch. So yeah, 100%. While I have been running him for the longest time, I have been liking him less and less, because he's primarily been who's been leading my Aberrants. I think that's a really good point, because Metamorphs do have the two profiles, like one with more attacks but like lower strength, where it's like, okay, I'll do the many attacks, but they're all going to be lethal. That's actually huge.
Which is good. So your AP minus 1 no matter which profile you take. So I mean, like, even if you're like, all right, well, it's just gonna be a ton of attacks, they're all AP 2. So like, you can do some real good damage there if you just hit something with a whole bunch of AP, you know, AP minus 1 attacks. So
But yeah, like I said, I think if you had talked to me like 2 months, he would have been a bit higher than the Abominant. But yeah, now I'm starting to kind of be where you're at as well, kind of swap these guys around. So niche choice, take one. I think, yeah, he's definitely a lot more meta dependent, I would say, than the Abominant. The Abominant just has value all the time, versus this guy, like, is specific.
We're about to get to the one of the most depressing models that I've had my misfortune to have played in the last edition, that now does almost nothing.
So we are talking about the Clamavis. So Clamavis has essentially the same stat, top stat line as the Biophagus. Leadership 6, which is nice. Has an auto pistol, has a close combat weapon. So he has 2 abilities. One, he has a 12-inch aura of anytime you minus 1 to battle shock tests, and anytime an enemy fails a battle shock test, they have to take a mortal wound, and scrambler array, which is no deep strike within 12. He can be joined to hybrids, acolyte hybrids, metamorphs, and neophyte hybrids. Then he also has the same ability to join a battle line unit, even if a Primus Magus or acolyte icon word has already been attached to it. So, and he is costing 50 points. All right, TJ, what does this guy make you sad?
So he makes me sad because in the last book, he was amazing. In the last book, basically, his ability was that you could basically shout abilities from the other side of the board. So that was really, really strong because you could do things like give the premises for reroll ones to hit and ones to wound ability out and things like that in the last book, if I remember correctly. And you could do things like that. And there were some other abilities that you could give out that were very, very strong. Now he basically does nothing. He's a, hey, you can't T-strike within 12 of me. And I do some weird battle shock thing that probably will never come into fruition. But if it does, you might take a mortal wound. Like, you know, if he was like the Nid one where it's like once per game, everybody on the table takes like a battle shock. If they fail to take a mortal wound, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it. Like, that's awesome. I would take that 100%. Even if they said he was 60 points now instead of 50, I'd be like, yeah, once per game. Like, I'll, so in my game against, I was at Adepticon last weekend and I played round six. I played into Nids and he basically hits me with a battle shock check across the board and I fail a couple, which are very important because then I can't put strats on my guys. And like that could swing a game for you. One other time during one of my team games on the weekend, someone battle shocked me once per game, maybe take a battle shock on my Magnus, and he failed it. And then he died that turn. And my buddy turns to me while I'm playing. He doesn't play the game as much as I do. And he was like, hey man, you're going to use a zero damage strat on that guy and he's not going to die, right? And I was like, nope, he's battle shocked. He can't do anything. He's just going to die here. So like, that's a big deal. So he just doesn't do anything. So for me, he's a niche choice. You take him. I don't think he's at the bottom yet. I still think that he works in certain metas. If you're still plagued by Eldar, if you're still plagued by Space Marines that do 3-inch deep strikes, then the 12 inch is really nice for just securing your home objective. But like, yeah, he's just not good. I would not, like, he's right at the bottom. Like, if anything at all happens to the meta where like Space Marines aren't popular anymore. Oh, and Hypercrypt, he's great against Hypercrypt now too. So like, he's got a niche. Like, you can take him, you know, he's very niche where like he works in certain metas and certain, you know, if it's prevalent somewhere, but like for the most part, he's definitely like right at the bottom there. If Hypercrypt gets nerfed or Space Marine interceptors get nerfed, then he becomes almost useless. So,
yeah, I'll give him niche choice. I think I brought him twice. And even against like the thing that I don't like is the fact that his 12-inch no-go aura is just on him.
Yes.
So if you have him in like, if you have like neophytes like clustered, you know what I mean? And typically like, you know, he might be towards like the back or maybe towards the middle, like he now like, The 12-inch aura is only from him. So if you're stringing out your neophytes in any kind of way, you can still 9-inch deep strike or 3-inch deep strike if you like deep strike on part of the unit that's farther away from him. Which usually, like when I'm dropping neophytes, they are strung out in some kind of form or fashion. Like they're doing two jobs. They're like on two objectives, or they're move blocking, or I'm making a string so that way if you charge me, I could just, you know, cut the string and that way, you know, the dudes you charge into die from coherency and I'm still able to pick those guys up, something along those lines. So now I have to be bothered of like, oh, where is this guy in relation to the rest of my unit while I'm putting them on the, like while I'm already doing the arduous job of putting 20, 40, 60 neophytes on the table, I now have to think of, oh God, where should my Clamavis be like in this drop? And to me, it's been more hassle, honestly, than it's been worth. Yeah. And so in like indirect also is a fairly big part of the game still. Like Guard is becoming much, much more popular. Chaos Knights all have Havoc launchers on their heads. Like, so, you know, used to, I would think like, okay, I'll just put them with a 10-man neophyte unit, but a 10-man neophyte unit with a clam of us can just die to indirect. And I'm sorry, I really do not want to spend, low nop on a 10-man neophyte unit with a clam of us.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's not what I want to be wasting my CP on.
Yeah, I think he's just a home objective grabber if you're going to take him at all, and he moves never, and he's basically just there to be like, all right, cool, let's stand behind this building and make sure that, like, if you want to deep strike, you got to go into the other side of the building. And I think you keep him on the objective so you don't get hypercrypt and you don't get interceptored. But other than that, I think he's just a waste.
Yeah. Niche choice for me as well. Honestly, teetering to, like, just gives up assassinate points. I know a lot of people bring him, and swear by him, and that's kind of what keeps me at niche choice, because, you know, I just kind of gave up on him pretty early after, like, he's just not doing enough for me. But, yeah, for sure. Cool. So next we have the Jackal Alphas. Again,
another depressing unit.
Someone who's paying for their sins.
Yeah. I mean, she's not bad. Like, scout ability is good, right? She's got that 9-inch scout, which is really nice. She gives you reroll ones. She gives the rest of the units that shoot at the target that you just shot out reroll ones, which is hit rolls a one, which is nice. And then she's got that move, shoot, move, which is something that our army doesn't really have, which is nice. But she's just going to give up assassinate. I mean, until they make Jackals good again, like, she's just not going to be a thing. Because, like, you don't, she's not a lone op. If she had lone op, completely different story. You take her 100% of the time. But without lone op, you don't want her by herself, because she's just going to get, she's only four wounds at T4 with a 5-up save, right? She's even an imbull. So, like, you're just going to put her with a squad of small bikes, which means you're spending even more points on her. And then the move, shoot, move is not really good. It's only for, like, secondary uses. And our army's so fast with that kind of stuff, like getting secondaries. We have so many units that can just go and do things that I just don't think that she adds to the fire. And again, we're already giving up a ton of characters. Making free characters for my opponent to kill to get assassinate is not what I want to do. So,
yeah. Well, real quick, TJ, I'm going to just run down her stat line real quick, but so she's moving to 12, which is good. You know, that's not bad. T4, 5-up save, 4 wounds, 7 and left leadership, OC1. She has an auto pistol and a Colt sniper rifle, which is one shot, three up, but it has heavy, so 2-up, but I don't know when she'd have to. Strength 5, AP2, flat 3 damage. She has a close combat weapon for melee. And then, like you said, whenever she shoots something, everyone has a reroll to one in shooting. If this was in melee, if this was a hit, reroll once a hit all the time, I could see her as
the choice be good.
At that point. That would be good, like, to just,
yeah,
like, 100%. have aberrance, like, hitting on threes, rerolling ones with sustain from an abominate. That sounds sexy. But rerolling ones to hit in range attack, which, I mean, we're going to be talking about the Primus. We already have a source of rerolls for range, so we don't care. And then Acolytes reroll ones to hit natively. She has her move, shoot, move. Only joining Adeline Jackals, and she costs us 60 points. But yeah, I'm in the same. There's no reason for me right now to be spending any points on Jackals. Like,
which is depressing, because they were so good last edition.
You take
your special Colts, you give them extra AP on their weapons, and then you give them a feel no pain on their stuff. So good. I mean, those units were amazing.
The all mech, like, GSC builds, like, were solid. I mean, I was more of a fan of Twisted Helix, because I love aberrants. But no, the all mech GSC builds were solid, man. And they could put out just disgusting damage. Just because they were to really use the army rule very well at the time, just because they move so damn fast. Gives up.
But nothing's as depressing as the choice we're about to get into now. I mean, what a fall from grace.
Fall from grace. All right. So we have the Keller Morph. Real quick, move 6, T3, 5 up save, 3 wounds, 7 up leadership, OC1. He has a 5 up invul, one of the very few things in this book with an invul. Range weapons, oh, this hurts so much. Cause anyway, 12-inch Liberator auto stubs. He has six attacks, hits on 2s, which is great. Strength 5, AP 0, 1 damage. He has dev wounds, pistol, precision, sustain hits D3. He has a close combat weapon for melee. He has deep strike, lone op, and his two abilities. He could be, with a deep strike ability, he could be set up within 3 inches of a friendly Gene Seer Cult Balai unit, which when he does that, he's able to essentially do a free 3-inch deep strike. But if you do that, he can't charge, which is whatever. And then each time an enemy unit targets a friendly Gene Seer Cult Balai unit within 3 inches of him, he can shoot back, essentially. Like the, I think the Necrons have that same lone op guy.
Hexmark Destroyer.
Yeah, same kind of ability as that. And then he costs 55 points. This guy used to put the fear of God into people.
And, yeah, worm tooth rounds, fuck 3 damage. They just destroy people. You would just obliterate people with that. I mean, and then last edition, all the upgrades that you could put on any units, like he could do the 3-inch one. He could do the move, shoot, move one after. Sorry, he always move, shoot, moved afterwards. You could do the 3-inch. You could do the +1 to wound with him before. Like, there were so many good things you could do with the Keller Morph. And, you know, he does nothing. Now he just sits on my shelf and does absolutely nothing. So, obviously, you know my answer is definitely a 1 with this guy. Now, all I'll say about him is that there is still just a glimmer of hope that when we get the book, a detachment to increase the AP or an upgrade that increases the AP of ranged weapons or +1 damage like Thousand Suns, he will become good again. A 2 damage precision guy who gets a strat for either full rerolls to hit or full rerolls to wound, that would be insane. Until that, he's just please don't take him. You're just going to give up Assassinate. There's nothing good to say about him, unfortunately.
The only thing I will say is if for some reason, because I really think you should take a lone op, like obviously it should be the Reductus, but for some reason your list is in such a way that like you just do not have the points for the Reductus. Even then, I would still maybe think about the Sanctus. It's just the fact that he does have a free 3-inch deep strike might be cool for like getting homers or behind enemy lines.
Yeah, I mean,
along those lines, but like that would
you know, he's like a Hexmark, but the difference is that the Hexmark can go up every turn. Like he doesn't. So like that's a big difference, right? Like that's a substantial difference on the unit itself. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, he's teetering on that line between gives up Assassinate and Niche Choice. The only reason why, like I said, is if you just didn't have the points. And even right. then, like the Sanctus might be better because the Sanctus actually kind of has some rules, which we'll go into once we hit to him. But yeah. All right. Next is the Locust. So the Locust is moving 6. C is T4, which is neat. 5 up save, 3 wounds, 7 up leadership, OC1. He has a 4 Binvol, which is crazy. His melee weapons, he has no range, has 5 attacks, hitting on 2, strength 5, AP 2, 2 damage. He has deep strike, he has fights first, and while he's leading a unit, the mauls on that unit have fights first. And while this model's leading unit, all other character models attached to that unit have a 4 feel no pain. He could be attached to Acolyte Hybrids, Metamorphs, and Neophytes. And then if you attach it to a battle line, you know, same kind of deal. Even if Primus Magus or Acolyte Icon Wards attached, you can bring him. And he is costing 45 points. What's your thoughts, DJ?
I mean, obviously, unfortunately, right now, he's definitely, please don't take him because it's Assassinate. However, again, he's another character that once we get a melee detachment, this guy is insane. I mean,
yeah,
just the power that this character can give your units is insane. The reason he's not taken is that our melee is just bad right now, right? Like, metamorphs are not good. Acolytes are really just for demo charges. And, like, again, I think one of the biggest mistakes that Games Workshop ever did with this edition is that they combined data sheets where you don't pay for points, you pay for the whole unit, and then you can do whatever you want. Because if an acolyte unit right now is 170 points and you get whatever you want, if they made the melee one 150 points, you would see a lot more melee units, and then you'd see this guy because he fights first. Like, that's amazing. But without it, you just don't, like, you're going to take acolytes and they're going to have demo charges, and that's just how it's going to be. And then they're going to take hand flamers because that's just how it's going to be. You know, if the choice is between, you know, the same points cost is I do demo charges, which obliterate anything in the game, or I take melee weapons, which might do some good damage if they get into combat, the choice is always going to be the ones that will 100% do damage. So, but yeah, I love this guy. I think this guy's great. Points, he's priced to move 100%. He's just not priced to be played because the other units are just not good. So,
I actually will put him in niche choice. So, during the CSM, you know, discussing meta, I was actually running a single unit of acolytes with mining tools. So the melee acolytes with him because of chosen, because okay. of five man chosen units. For anyone who doesn't know, mining tools are essentially the same stat line as aberrants. I think it's only two attacks instead of three, but it's strength 8, AP 2, 3 damage, I believe. But the acolytes reroll ones native. So their rerolls are not they're not bound to like ranged or melee. It's just all the time. So I would basically have him sitting behind a wall with the acolytes. That was only for chosen though. Like once CSM, I only did it a few games. I mean, there were times where it didn't matter, there were matchups where it didn't matter, but, into MSU chosen lore, like, CSM, because there were plenty of times where, like, a Forge Fiend Overwatch could just kill 10 acolytes, you know what I mean? Like, just, or stupid stuff, like, or guys were taking Plague Marines with their CSM, you know, just so they could bring, like, the Plague Spitters or whatever, the Flamers or shit like that. So it was kind of like a weird time, and I don't know if you experienced this. Like, it was kind of a weird time to build GSC list during during this.
Oh, no, I definitely did. That's why I said I took it to Worlds and played CSM, like, the whole weekend. So that was kind of
It just felt so, because there are things that should work, like, just won't work. So that's why, so I would include, like, that 10-man unit just with him just to hold an objective and to be able to fight first. And because his melee is not bad, you know, flat 2 damage on his melee is pretty solid. And then acolytes, you know, their melee isn't bad either, like just the cult claws and then like the leader's claws. So I would actually put him on niche choice, but only for a very, very, very specific meta where, like, something like CSM is super popular.
Right, yeah. Like I said, I think once you get our own book, he's going to be really, really strong. I mean, you can even, like, once we get an enhancement that will do something for him, like, he's going to be really good, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we have, the Magus. Yeah.
I don't know that she was ever amazing in the last book either, but if she was, she is now so much worse than she ever was.
Well, she could do real quick, let me read her stat lines, but yeah. So she moves 6, T3, 5 up save, 4 wounds, 6 up leadership, 1. She has an auto pistol. She has a Magus stave, which is psychic. So three attacks, hits on threes, strength 5, AP 1, D3 damage, which isn't terrible. Her abilities. So she has a 5-up feel no pain against psychic attacks, her unit, while she's leading it. And she has the funny ability from, oh my god, what's that demon? The changeling. So she rolls a D6 on a 2 through 5, you're minus 1 to hit. On a 6, you don't shoot. And then once per game, she can extend that range.
Yeah.
Cool. Double the range of its mind control, because it's within 12. Yeah. So what I was going to say is to do psychic ritual or whatever, the secondary.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
She was just like, you could bring one. I think she was, I remember, like, she was pretty cheap. So, like, if that's, like, a secondary you wanted to do, you could just bring her. And then she could do it while the rest of the enemy is, like, dealing with neophytes all over the goddamn map. But I don't think she was spectacular. Because, I mean, also, you know, at that, you know, in 9th edition, all psychers could use, not Doombolt, but, oh my god, all my 9th edition. Smite, yeah. You know what I mean? The source of Smite. Something like that. But yeah, so TJ, what's your...
I mean, you know, please don't take it. Yeah. Giving up Assassinate, I mean, that's basically the only thing that you're even doing with this character. Unfortunately, she just doesn't do anything. If we were in a psychic heavy meta, maybe, like, if T-Suns and Grey Knights were the top of the meta, then maybe, like, but then again, no, because then you're just taking an icon ward, right? Like, it's the same thing as an icon ward, but worse. If you're going to take a character, take an icon ward. They work on everyone. There is literally no reason to take this character. Like, it's so unfortunate, but so, so true. If you want the vibe of feeling the pain, just take the icon where he literally works on everything. So, just a redundant character.
And like, I've seen in, like, various discords, like, people comparing, well, it'd be like, well, the changeling, like, has, and the changeling is good. The changeling is good because, he has, like, a great stat line. His gun.
His flamer is great.
He's a lone op, you know. And he's and like, it makes him hard to kill. And then also, that's also like, they also need to pass a battle shock test.
Well, I was gonna say, he has also a completely different ability that is basically overshadowed by this ability. So his other ability is, anytime you target him at all, it's a battle shock. If you fail, you physically can't target him. Like, that's not even remotely close to what this, if she did that, completely different story. You'd put one unit in your backfield and then they would just sit back there and that would be cool. But, like, that's not the case. So,
she just does nothing. Yeah. So, definitely gives up Assassinate 100%.
Well, I will say we are getting to the end of the characters, and the end of the characters are the best characters.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, so we have the Nexus. So move 6, or T3, 5-up save, 3 wounds, 7-up save, of T1, has an auto pistol, has a close combat weapon. Basically, this guy can once give you free strat, which is limited to, was it the battle tactic? And at the start of every command player's command phase, they can move a cult ambush marker for 6 inches. He can lead acolyte hybrids, metamorphs, hybrids. He also has the ability to join a unit that has a primus, magus, or acolyte, which is, he's probably the best user of that. And he costs 60 points. All right, TJ, what you think about the Nexus?
I mean, he's a must take. I mean, just one in the army. Like, I'm not saying go crazy with them, but, like, the main reason being is, like, when your go turn, you want to be able to use that +1 to hit strat, and you can't use that multiple times unless you take this guy. So right there, like, you want your 3-inch guys to be able to do it with full rerolls, and then your neophytes, for me anyway, especially in the new meta with, like, rhinos and things like that, you want something that cracks rhinos. So the las cannons, You want that thing as plus one to hit, you know, so you don't want to be hitting on fives with those last cannons. You want to be hitting on fours. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. A perfect. Cause I mean, you can't bring him on the, you can't use him for the plus one to wound just because of the way that it's worded, but yeah, correct. The perfect ambush plus one to hit plus one AP, like is so, so important. I think he is a must take, but yeah, you're only taking one for sure. 100%. No questions about that. We have the Patriarch. Patriarch moves 8, T5, 4 up save, 6 wounds, 6 up leadership, OC1. He has a 4 up invul. His only weapons are his claws, which are 5 attacks, hits on 2, strength 6, AP 2, 2 damage, dev wounds, and twin linked. For his abilities, he has infiltrator, which is nice. While he's leading a unit, models in that unit have dev wounds. He has a second ability, which at the start of the fight phase, enemy units within 6 must take a Battleshock test. And once per game, he can double the range of that. He joins pure strains. He has to be your warlord. And then he is 85 points. What's your thoughts on the Patty?
So, again, paying for the sins of the previous codex, he was amazing in the past codex, mostly because they didn't do what they're doing now, which is Index Hammer. So I think he'll be great when we get a melee detachment. But so I think a lot of the time, a lot of the people forget that this is our shooting detachment. So this is the shooting detachment. We got the shooting detachment as our Index detachment. So, and that while that's really good for GSC, we got a whole bunch of good abilities, we got some bad stuff too. And the bad part about it is that all of our melee is completely useless in this detachment. And that's a big thing that I think a lot of people kind of forget because they think, oh, it's an Index Codex. Yes, it's an Index Codex, but we got the shooting one. We got the shooting Index detachment. So once we get a melee detachment, he'll probably get better. But right now, you don't take the unit that he goes with, which is Gene Stealers, even though they just made him a little cheaper. Now, I would say he goes to niche because I have seen some people use him and had limited success with maybe one unit of Gene Stealers, some small units of Gene Stealers, because they are a fraction of the cost of what the Aberrants are. But other than that, I would say he stays in the middling category until we get a detachment that actually, you know, utilizes melee.
100%. Yep. Yeah. There's for sure. All right. Next we have the Primus, which is
I'm sorry. Did you say Primus or did you say the best unit in our book? I couldn't hear you.
I meant to say the best dude in our book. The guy, the Don, the big homie. The Primus. Move 6, T3, 5 up save, 4 wounds, 6 up leadership, which is really good. OC1, he has a 5 up invul. He has a anti-infantry 2 up needle pistol, which is hits on 2s, 0 AP, but D3 damage, and ignores cover. He has some actually not bad melee. He has 5 attacks with a bone sword, hits on 2, strength 5, AP 2, 1 damage, and then a toxic ejector claw, which is extra attacks, 2 attacks, hits on 2s, strength 2, AP 0, D3 damage, but anti-infantry 2 up. So he, whatever he attaches to, anytime they make an attack, you get to reroll the hit roll. And if your army includes this guy, you get to redeploy 3 models. It's the shit redeploy, so it's redeployed before we know who goes first, but still really good. He attaches to Acolyte Hybrids, Metamorphs, and Neophytes, and he costs 90 points. So yes, TJ, tell us why he is the Don, the guy.
I mean, full rerolls to hit is, again, I just talked about this before, but like, we are the shooting detachment, so being able to get full rerolls to hit is exactly what you want. Redeploying is really strong for when your opponent maybe stacks aside heavily. You can basically negotiate that. Or if your opponent's set up to shoot something because you placed it in a a way where you're now realizing that your opponent does get a good line of sight or can get a good line of sight with movement. So yeah, it's not, hey, after you go, you can move it, which again would completely change our army because melee would again be viable if you could, you know, your infiltrators or your scout move guys like the Metamorphs would actually get play. But until that changes, yeah, there's just nothing you can do about it. So, but yeah, 4 rerolls a hit. He's got a 5 of pinball. He actually slaps in combat, which is hilarious. And yeah, this guy's the OG. Like if you're starting an army, you're playing these guys, you have a, you know, a list in front of you, better start with 3 of these. And yeah, that's how it's going to be. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it.
It's probably going to be for the entire edition, honestly. Like
unless he gets a nerf in the codex, which would be very sad.
Yeah, I don't know how I would play the army without Primuses. And what's really nice, and what was kind of like a big deal, actually, is the fact that infiltrators keep the infiltrate keyword even after a redeploy, which means your big aberrant brick can just be moved to somewhere in no man's land during your redeploy.
Yeah. Also, that it works in the melee phase. Your rerolls work in the melee phase, which is a big deal for us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right. Yep. Yeah. 100%. Bring 3. Bring 5 if you could, but bring 3. So next, we have the Reductus Saboteur. So she's moving.
The second best unit in the book. Good.
Second best unit. The move 6 T3, 5 up save, 3 wounds, leadership 7 OC1. She has a auto pistol. She has a 2 up demo charge. And she has a funny indirect, remote explosives, which has blast, D6 plus 3, hits on 3s, strength 5, AP 01 damage. She has a close combat weapon. She has an infiltrator, lone op, stealth. She allows you to grenade for free, even after it's been used. And once per game, if someone ends a normal advance or fallback move within 12 of her, she uses her Reductus Mine, which on a 2 up, that unit suffers D3 plus 3 mortal. She costs 65 points. All right, TJ. Why is she the second best?
Lone operator. She's got a demo charge built in, a demo charge that hits better than your entire acolyte unit would hit. She hits on 2s, which is insane. Also, she's, you know, doesn't cause herself hazardous, which, if you want to catch a veteran GSC player versus a new GSC player, watch when they are done with their acolytes if they take hazardous checks.
Yeah.
That is the one way that you'll know immediately. You're like, oh man, he took hazardous check. This guy must be a pro. He must know what's up. He knows how to play this unit. He knows how long this unit's been alive. But yeah, she has an indirect weapon, which is amazing as well. Just because it's another weapon that you have. And yeah, I mean, she's got pistol just in case she was in combat. So, and she has an assault weapon, which means she can do actions, which is obviously the demo charge, but still she can do actions and run, which is very important for us to be able to do secondaries. And did I mention she has lone operator and infiltrator, by the way, just in case. Yeah. And stealth. Good. Gets a grenade strap for free. Like she is, if you don't have at least one, you've got problems. You should take like 2 of these at least. So
yeah, I'm gonna take 100%. I mean, I'm only running one. I would run more if I had the points, but yeah, I've had a Reductus just kill a war dog just by herself. Like here's a demo charge. Here's free grenades. Like, oh, and you're dead. Like, and people don't respect that. Like, so obviously, like, that's why I said, like, we're 3 CP, something that's huge is you 3-inch deep strike your acolytes throw a grenade, she throws a grenade, she throws her demo charges, like, and you just kill the rhino or whatever. Like, so huge. And the fact that you can redeploy her and she stays in infiltrate, super nice. And then finally, our last character, we have the Sanctus, who moves 6, T3, 5 up save, 3 wounds, 7 left leadership, OC1, 5 up invul. He has a Colt sniper rifle, which is anti-psyker 2 up, BS3, strength 5, AP2, 3 damage. It also has heavy and precision. And he has, for his melee weapons, he has a close combat weapon or the Sanctus Biodagger, which is anti-infantry 3 up, precision. Hits 6 times, onto strength 3, AP 2, 1 damage. Now, you can only take the sniper rifle or the dagger. You don't get to do both. Also has infiltrator, lone op, and stealth. He's eligible to shoot and declare a charge and turn in which he fell back or advanced. And then at the start of the first battle round, he selects one enemy unit, and that is his prey. And then each time he makes an attack against his prey, he ignores covers and has dev wounds. He costs 50 points. All right, what do you think about the Sanctus?
Niche, definitely niche. I could see a use of her, but I'm not exactly sure if I'm, you know, just being nice and generous to her. She does have blown up. That is a nice thing. I do like loan up. But obviously, again, I think it's the same instance that we said before. Like, if you could take a Saboteur, if you could not take a Saboteur, then you would take her. Like, if you were like, man, I'm just out of points and I don't want to cut the list at all. I really like it. I need a loan up. Then, yeah, great. But other than that, you just don't take her.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, TJ, I know you got to go, but hey, man. Thanks again for being on the show. Real quick, I know you were talking about how you have your YouTube channel. Can we get a plug for that real quick so people can find you?
Yeah, so Lord of Chaos is my Patreon, my Facebook group, and my YouTube. I do videos, a couple of videos a week on how to get better with Chaos armies and things like that. So.
Well, thanks again, TJ, for hopping on. And thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Please follow the Discord, and we'll see you again next time. Thank you.